Welcome back to another episode of the Bearded 3 podcast. At long last, we are back with another episode. My name is Tanner. I'm on staff here at First Family Church, and I'm joined by RJ Parks.
Heyo.
And Travis Walker.
Yeah, glad to be back.
They're also on staff at First Family, and we have a special guest. This week, this is not someone who's on our staff, but someone who's part of our church, and this is Craig Stevens is joining us on the podcast.
Yes, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank
you.
So,
Craig, thank you. Tell us why you're on the podcast today.
Well, I went to the event, to the trivia night, and bought a raffle ticket, and I got picked in the raffle and came up and spun the wheel. And so here I am.
Yep.
Who would have thought, right, Craig?
Right.
We're following through.
Right.
We're following through.
Do we want to put more color on that, or is that plenty of detail? Yeah, RJ, tell the story.
Is there more story than that?
Yeah, I don't know that there's more story.
So. It was a fundraiser.
Yeah, it was a fundraiser for Lake Ann, for our students to go to Lake Ann Camp in Michigan. We had a trivia night. Ali and myself, we hosted. And one of the things was the raffle, so people could buy raffle tickets. We drew them. They had to come up, spin this wheel of fun, where they could have gotten all kinds of different prizes, like a gift card or a box from our Lost and Found. Or a chance to be on the next Bearded 3 podcast.
That's right.
That was the main prize. That was the big,
coveted prize.
The coveted prize.
Yeah.
And Craig was the first one, and that's what he spun. That's what he got. So
that's right.
I think you got a gift card, too.
I did.
But this is worth way more than $25 at Amazon.
That's right.
So could you say people have been clamoring for this episode?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, clamoring. That's a good word.
We have dozens and dozens of people who have been waiting for this episode to drop.
Yeah. Craig, just so you know, we have 10 of followers, so
all right,
and listeners, so
excellent.
Maybe not the same tens,
but we have diversity today. I'm the unbearded among the bearded.
Yeah. Craig does not have a beard for those listening, so that different than usual. We often have bearded people on, so Craig, tell us a little bit about yourself. You're a doctor, we were just talking about what. Shouldn't have mentioned that. We already talked about it. Your college, how you landed at First Family.
Okay. Well, yeah, there's a lot going on there. It's a long, winding road, I can tell you. Yeah. To become a doctor, it was, I think it was always something I really wanted to do when I was a little kid, you know, and I kind of put it away because in school, you know, I was never in the gifted group. And it was always this, you have to study so many years and you got to be brilliant. And, you know, so I kind of put it away. And then I got interested in athletics, you know, played football, did a lot of that stuff, wrestled and, you know. You know, I got really into that. And so I went, when I got out of high school, I went for an accounting degree. And that just, well... prior to that, in high school, I had a back injury that kind of sent me in a different direction and kind of brought me back to wanting to be a doctor. I think at that point, I really learned what it was like to be in pain and have a disability, and it kind of really sensitized me to those kinds of things. I just wanted to be in a role where I could alleviate suffering, and so ultimately, the doctor was where I ended up. I think I changed my major when I was in my sophomore year. And then I just took all the pre-med classes and got into the University of Wisconsin.
Go Badgers.
Oof, yeah.
I can't say that. Yeah. Sorry, that hurt. That hurt to say that. Oof.
Beyond that, I didn't.
Still in the Big Ten.
We're
okay. That's right.
No, we're not okay.
Not the Badgers. No.
Do you follow Badger sports? Like, do you follow their football team and stuff?
I don't, actually. Okay. I've been in Iowa since '88, so I'm really, you know, I'm an Iowan at this point. Hawkeyes, Cyclones. Amen. I like them both.
The Hawks.
And, you know, all the Iowa teams, I'm on board with Iowa. Yeah. I don't follow anything in Wisconsin anymore. No.
What kind of doctor were you?
I was a cardiologist.
You're retired now, right?
Yeah, I worked till I was about 70, and I've been retired about 4 years now.
Okay.
So, that was also, you know, I really didn't know what I wanted to do. So I ended up kind of like in internal medicine, you know, and I practiced that for 3 years. But I was getting all the heart cases. You know, people were sending me. I was practicing in a little town in Edgerton, just south of Madison, and Edgerton and Stoughton. and they were sending me a lot of heart cases. And I was just managing those. And finally, I decided, well, I'm going to go back and do a fellowship and be a cardiologist. So I did that and came out and practiced cardiology from 85 till 2021.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I've been here in Des Moines since 1988. So,
for those of us not in the medical field, did you practice at a hospital all those
yeah.
years?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I was at Mercy, and then after 20 years, we kind of changed over to Unity Point
okay.
and at Methodist and Lutheran. Hmm. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it was a great time to be in cardiology, hmm. really. There was a lot of advances, and yeah. it was a great time to be in there, really.
That's but great.
It was a great privilege, really. I got to take care of a lot of patients, really. It was great, wonderful, blessing, you know.
Do you have any interesting or funny, you know, doctor stories to share with our
well,
listeners?
Yeah, well.
Is he allowed?
HIPAA violation. Is there a statute of limitations on HIPAA? It's been 10 years.
When
you can
talk you share
about
the
it.
Funny stories?
Yeah. Well, it was just, I was definitely... I would say that I was just pretty much married to the work, you know. Mm-hmm. I was work. Yeah. And I have to think a lot about, you know, it was a wonderful time. You know, I enjoyed the work, you know. It was rewarding and it was wonderful to be able to help people in their distress. But it was work, you know, and there was a lot of night call and it was busy.
Mm-hmm.
And many days I realize I'm fortunate to have come out of it as well as I have. Thank God.
The heart seems pretty stressful.
Was very
it a,
much so.
Was it a high stress
well,
job?
It was, yes. Mm-hmm. And for families, for loved ones who had the problem, it certainly was, mm-hmm. you know. But it was also very rewarding to take care of people in those times, you know. It was mm-hmm. totally, yeah, it was a blessing.
Mm.
My wife was a nurse on the cardiac floor at Mary Greeley in mm-hmm. Ames for several years, and she would tell me how, like, you kind of assume people are of a certain age when they're having heart issues, and you'd be surprised. I'd be surprised at how many people were like, you know, not like, I mean, she'd have some young people, but like younger people that you're kind of surprised that they're having these heart issues.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah, it can happen at young ages. Yeah.
You're very young.
Yeah.
Yes, I was a patient on the cardiac floor at one point.
At Mary Greeley?
Not at Mary Greeley, no. Mm. But but that's what they kept saying to me. You're really young to be in this poor shape.
But then you did push-ups, and they're like, oh, no.
Right.
Then you showed them.
Then I planked
Then
for
you
five
showed them you could do a five-minute
like,
plank,
wow.
And they said, well, I don't know what we can tell you about
that. Right. Yep.
But it was really a blessing, really, the whole career. It was basically 1980, I got certified in internal medicine, and I practiced for 40 years. And when I look back on it, I can't believe it was 40 years. 40 you know, when you're in it, it doesn't seem to be going fast, but all of a sudden, it's like a train going down the tracks. All of a sudden, it's just gone.
Yeah.
You know, it was a great experience, really. I you know, and God allowed that in my life, and I'm thankful, you know.
So you came to Christ fairly recently.
And
that's how you kind of landed at First Family, if I'm not mistaken. Would you mind sharing that story?
Yeah, I sure can. You know, I grew up in a household where my mom was a Catholic. My father, I don't think he was really a believer, but, you know, it's uncertain, mm-hmm. but we went to Catholic church, and so, I mean, I learned much about doing the works and the sacrifice, and I think over time I was very motivated by that in my life, you know. Plus, my dad provided a lot of motivation for me too to get going and pull up the bootstraps and get going and work. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I had that upbringing. I fell away from the church there, and then later on was in the Lutheran church. But being in a more liberal wing of the Lutheran church, I kind of left there too. So coming to Christ, you know, I believed in God all those years, and I went to church, but I really didn't understand my need for a Savior and Jesus to be Lord in my life. I didn't get it. And I, in a lot of ways, I think the works that I did were a stumbling block for me to, and the pride that I had in my works, you know, that I would think, well, how can I not be good with God on the basis of what I'm doing? Right. But it's not really on the basis of what I'm doing. It's the on the basis of what Jesus, you know, did for me, how he suffered and shed his blood for the forgiveness of my sin. But I had to learn that at, God took me on that road to Damascus, and I had to go through a lot of things in my personal life until age 66, you know, and then I, he took me to a place where I could finally understand my need for a Savior.
So did someone share the gospel with you? Or how did you end up coming to Christ?
Well, yeah, it's a bit of a story. First, I was in, my wife is Stacy, and we were having some really serious marital problems, and I was on a fishing trip in Alaska with my brother. And she was passing by the church here and listening to a pastor to, you know, deliver the gospel message. She heard it and, like me, was a churchgoer but didn't understand her need for a Savior. She accepted Christ right there. Wow. That was in August of 2017. Wow. And she was right next to this church when it happened. Yeah, right by this church.
Wow.
Wow.
And she was in tears, and she had to pull off the road, and she ended up in the Viridian parking lot.
Oh, man.
And then through all the discussions we had, I came to Christ in October of that year, 2017, and we got baptized in January of 18.
Yeah.
And then I had a patient also who was an elder at the church here, Ed Gregory, who invited me here. And he spent quite a bit of time with me discipling me and going through scripture. And
fantastic.
A very patient man, because he had to put up with a lot with me. But it was just, I think, me living in my own life personally. I believed in God, but I didn't believe I needed a Savior. And I thought that was good for the guy sitting next to me, but no, I don't think I really need that. But, or I didn't even sense my need for it until I was brought to that place where I could really see it. It was realizing the futility of life without the standard of God in my life, you know, and I just needed that. I needed to be reading the Bible and understanding God and his word. And through that, I remember that when I was a little tyke, I was just before school, I don't know, I was three or four, I don't know what I was. But I used to ask my parents, what is this life? What am I here for? You know, you say, go outside, kid, play. Just, don't bother me with this.
That's pretty deep at three or four.
Well, and then I finally got it answered when I, at age 66, that God made me for his good pleasure.
Amen.
Thank you, God.
Yeah.
That I can glorify him.
That's great.
In my life.
It's been great having you guys as part of our church, and it's been really fun seeing you guys get saved and baptized and getting plugged in and everything. It's been really cool.
Yeah.
It's been life-changing.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's great.
We're thankful.
So I got some less serious questions I want to ask you.
Okay.
Related to your, mostly to your career in the medical field, but have you ever delivered a baby?
When I was a student, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we got to deliver babies on the OB rotation.
So my question is, what's more intimidating, delivering a baby or serving on the safety team here at First Family Church?
Similar.
That's not a real question.
Similar level of intensity.
Yeah.
Yep. I see Craig sweating every week with that earpiece in. He's nervous. He's
gloving up.
Fortunately.
Hand
washing. Never know what you're going to get.
Fortunately. I do glove up when we prepare communion, you know, but sometimes Stacy and I prepare communion tables.
That's right. But,
does that take you back to your surgeon days?
No, not really.
Oh, okay.
No.
It's a little different.
I wonder if there's like a process when you're putting it on.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. In the first 15 or 16 years, I was doing procedures and, you know, balloon angioplasties and things like that in the cath lab. And then As time went on, I got more just into the diagnostic and medical part of it. I was not doing procedures anymore. Mm-hmm. So I was doing imaging, diagnosis, ultrasound, echo, CT imaging, and seeing a lot of patients, mm-hmm. And so that's kind of where I ended up in that. But
you may not have an answer to this question, but what's the weirdest situation you've had of someone asking you for medical advice? I assume as a doctor, people would ask you medical advice. Did you ever have any weird interactions you can recall? Like at church, does anyone ever come up to you and say, like, hey, Craig, can you look at this rash?
Free diagnosis.
Out in the gym?
Usually they don't ask about rash because they know I'm a heart doctor,
That's
so
true. Yeah.
So, I'm spared usually those kinds of things.
That's good.
So usually it's more, just centered on the heart, But
that's funny.
So fortunately, usually that was one of the things I realized over time I needed to specialize because the general practice is just so broad.
Yeah.
And there were a number of things that I realized I was not very good at handling, like people coming in with headaches and things that never seem to get better. And so I realized that, I needed to specialize and focus more narrowly on things, mm-hmm. But
I'll say this about Craig, though, because I've been the guy that's asked him a lot of questions. when I was going through some of my heart episodes, Craig was just a great resource for me. I'd have doctor's appointments. And, after you're at some of these doctor's appointments, you quickly go to Dr. Google, to find out what they're saying.
WebMD.
Right? Yeah, go to WebMD, and you're still trying to figure all that out. Yeah. So I would just come to Craig and say, hey, my doctor told me this. What does it mean? And Craig would just lay it out really succinctly and in layman's terms so that I could understand it. And
it's cool.
Yeah, it was a really good comfort just to have you, Craig, to be able to as a resource.
Yeah.
And it was free.
Thanks.
So that was really another benefit.
I'm workshopping right now a sermon illustration.
Oh, here we
go. Let me run it by you and you poke holes in it. Okay?
Yeah.
Because I don't know anything about the heart. But the heart has four valves.
Right.
And so in the real world, in our world, I'm going to use it like this. We've got these four areas in our lives that create stress.
Mm-hmm.
So family,
mm-hmm.
career,
yeah.
Finances,
mm-hmm.
your health.
Yeah.
And so if one of those valves is clogged, you're stressed.
Mm-hmm.
But you still push through. You get through life. You can manage. Mm-hmm. The problem is when all four of those valves get mm-hmm. clogged or stressed, you have a heart attack. Does that medically make sense? Does my sermon illustration work medically?
Well, I think it can.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. I think it can. Good work, Chad.
First family, you're going to hear that sermon illustration pretty soon.
Nice.
So.
Yeah.
Any holes I need to fix?
No, I think you're on the right track.
Yes, all right.
I think you're on the right track.
Maybe you know more about the heart than you thought.
Probably not, but things are the compliment.
What are the four valves?
The real four valves?
Yeah.
Ventricle? I don't know. That's all I know.
There's an aorta. Yeah.
There's four valves and two atrium and two ventricles. Yeah.
Two atrium and two ventricles.
The upper chambers are the atrium, ventricles are the lower chamber.
So when do you have a heart attack?
Well, that's when there's different terms for heart attack. Heart attack could mean a sudden arrhythmia where the heart goes out of rhythm and a person passes out, or it could mean a person clogs an artery suddenly from a blood clot or a plaque rupture.
I was assuming
you can have five valves too, right, Craig?
You can have five valves?
Well, you can. There are some congenital abnormalities in the heart.
How many valves do you have, RJ?
I think 17.
Yeah, I only have three. Can I live with three?
That's very complicated, 17.
Why are you asking me? Well, Craig's here.
But then there's the analogy where Paul talks about the body of the church, having all the different parts that work together. And so the ear can't do without the eye, and the eye can't do without the ear, and no one part can just function on its own. And if one part suffers, the whole body suffers. So a heart's a good example of that. If the heart fails, the heart muscle gets weak, the whole body fails because there's inadequate blood flow to the kidneys, the brain, everything, and eventually a person goes into shock. And so that's a perfect example that the heart is kind of central to all that,
There you go, Trev.
So
not crazy off base with my sermon illustration. Thank you.
Yeah.
Craig, did you ever see any miracles or, you know, like real, like medical miracles? Did you ever see anything like that?
Well, I mean, I have seen people where, you know, the heart muscle is only pumping at 10%. And over time and recovery and medicine, the heart returns to normal.
10%.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And it's not a regular occurrence, but it does happen. And I mean, we've seen people with cancer have remissions that are not expected. So I think there is really the power of prayer, you know, is real in these instances, asking God for intervention. And I think that is real. And conversely, there's people that I would see who should have done well and they didn't, you know. And there's people that shouldn't have done well, but yet they did well and they recovered. And so that was ongoing all the time. And, you know, it's one of those things where you couldn't always explain everything by simple medical terms. There's other things going on probably at the spiritual level and in prayer and faith. Faith in God. Give the glory to God.
Amen. Guys, did you have any questions for Craig before we kind of jump into a couple games here?
Real quick. Did your I know you came to faith when you were 66, but did your occupation give you opportunities to have spiritual conversations with people?
Yes, at times, yeah.
Was that a blessing?
Yeah, it sure was. And many times I would just ask God for help, you know, because I myself would be at the end of myself after a call night, and I was sleepless or tired, and I'd have to ask God for help to just be able to focus on what I was doing. And
so maybe one of the miracles you saw was just God empowering you to do your job at your best.
And help me hear this person and what their real problem is. Help me hear.
That's great.
That's good. Craig, thanks for sharing with us and help us get to know you a little bit.
My pleasure.
What we typically do on these podcasts to close is we do a little, some fun little games. So I've got a game I'm going to close with. RJ has a little game he plays each week that we're going to go ahead and let him take over this part.
Okay. So Craig, this game is called Rank These Five Things Without Knowing What's Coming Next. Travis will insert the theme music now.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Rank these five things.
That's your what's your deal song?
I got one go-to jingle. I stole it.
I think it's two bars, like ba-ba-ba. Ba-ba-da-ba-ba. Something. Anyways, Craig, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you one at a time a famous doctor, and you rank them. You'll put them one through five, with one being your most favorite doctor, five being your least favorite, okay? But you don't know who's coming next, okay?
Oh, okay.
All right, so these could be fictional doctors or actual real doctors. All right, so we're going to start with Dr. Melvin P. Judkins. Do you know that doctor?
Yeah.
He's famous for, obviously, the Judkins catheter.
Right. Exactly.
Obviously.
What?
So your job now, Craig,
did his research,
is to rank him one through five. Oh, I mean that's a. He's pretty instrumental in the whole cardiology field.
I spent in the cath lab like 20 years using the Judkins catheter. Yeah, so he would be right up there, number one for me.
Number one. You're going to go number one right away.
Hands on the Judkins catheter in the cath lab when I was doing heart catheterizations.
Wow.
That's shocking to go number one. You don't know what's coming next.
No.
Is there
I mean, that was actually hands on for 20 years.
That's
for doing.
It's significant.
Is there a more famous?
There are more famous ones.
Cardiologists than that guy?
There are, but I didn't know if you were going to choose a cardiologist.
But he's your number one.
Well, not knowing what.
Well, knowing.
I mean, there's other people like, you know, Mason Soans.
Yeah.
You know, Fred Shoemaker.
He goes to our church.
Patrick Scanlon. Patrick Scanlon's a good Good one. Melvin, well, Melvin Judkins, obviously, but.
Yeah.
All right, what's next?
So our second one, now this one, I'm not sure if this is her first name or last name, mm-hmm. But I understand she was a medicine woman. It's okay. Dr. Quinn.
Dr. Quinn.
You're not familiar with Dr. Quinn?
No.
Dr. Quinn, medicine woman.
Oh, ask my mom all about Dr. Quinn.
It was a TV show on ABC in the 90s.
Okay, that would be number five.
Yeah. That's number five. Okay.
Wow. If my mom listens to this, she's going to be super offended.
Okay, so you're number one and number five are taken now.
If it's media, yeah.
So you're two, three, and four.
Main
so,
Street Media, yeah. Okay. Number five.
Now, this doctor is probably one of the most refreshing doctors in the world, and that is Dr. Pepper.
Dr.
So it's a very, very refreshing soda.
Okay.
I think invented in the 1800s, somewhere in Texas.
Its flavor is very undeterminable.
Yeah, something like that. So
I'll put that one in there at number four.
Number four.
Higher than Dr. Quinn.
Okay.
I'll drink a Dr. Pepper once in a while. Yep.
Now this next doctor is probably the most exciting doctor I've ever seen. And I think you maybe have seen him too. His name is Julius Irving, Dr.
Okay.
J.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well,
so now you had two and three open.
Yeah.
So you're saying Dr. J is going to be below Dr. Judkins.
Yeah. As a sports guy, I'll put him at number three. I think.
Number three.
So right up the line.
He had the great slam dunk, and he played great defense.
Was he the first to dunk from the foul line? Was he the originator of that dunk?
Maybe David Thompson.
He did that hand thing. He had the big hands.
And speaking of these sports guys, Craig's a big sports fan. Grew up in Milwaukee. He's seen some of the greatest players ever play in both basketball. He saw Wilt Chamberlain and Lou Alcindor. That's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Hank Aaron?
Hank Aaron.
Played for the Milwaukee Braves at the time.
Wow. Yeah.
He saw Willie Mays, Frank Robinson, Stan Musial.
What were you telling?
You're a big baseball fan.
Oh, big.
You were telling me once, like, the tickets were like a dollar, so you'd just go go to the stadium and just watch baseball all day.
They used to have the veterans home, up on the hill over the stadium, and they used to just be up in the bleachers watching for free up there.
Oh, my word.
The veterans hospital. Wow.
That'd be awesome.
Veterans home up there.
All right, so we got one more doctor for you to rank then. So we've got Dr. Quinn, medicine woman, is five. Dr. Pepper's at four. Julius Dr. J. Irving is three. And you got Dr. Judkins at number one. So this last doctor is probably
a solid number two.
He's the most famous of all the doctors on this list.
Okay.
And that would be Dr. Todd Stiles.
Oh, my.
There we go.
Number
really, really laying it on.
So you're putting him as two. Right?
There's no other spot.
There's no other spot.
It's okay. I'm pretty sure Todd doesn't listen to this podcast, Craig.
He's not one of our 10 listeners.
He's not one of our 10s.
Well, if I didn't know he was the last one, I would have put him number one.
Oh, okay. Good. Wow. Good.
Craig,
good.
Wow. He's good. Really buttering him up.
I'm glad he didn't end up at five.
And Judkins would go in to number two.
That's a really solid list, though. Yeah. So good job. Thanks for playing. Rank these five things without knowing what's coming next.
That's right.
I don't know.
Yep,
I got to come up with a G.
All right. This game that we're going to play, we'll play our... Well, Travis hasn't really had much to do with the games. Well, maybe we should do Travis versus Craig instead of... I was going to do RJ versus Craig. Let's do Travis versus Craig.
Yeah.
Sheesh.
So this game is called Real or Fake Conditions.
I believe everything's real, so...
All right. So, Craig, you're the guest. We'll start with you. You just need to say if this is a real condition or a fake condition.
Okay.
And I'll give you the answer. Okay, number one, exploding head syndrome.
What?
Exploding head. In this world, I would say real.
You are right. It's real.
Oh, my.
It's a sleep disorder where people hear loud imaginary noises. So their heads don't actually explode, but it sounds like explosions in their head, in their ears. So that is a real. Okay, so RG achievement score?
Yeah, 1-0. All right, Travis.
I just want to preface this by saying I have no medical expertise. He has all the medical expertise.
This is why it's funny. All right, Travis.
Use trains pulling into town.
Sheesh. All right, Travis. Spaghetti leg syndrome.
That's fictional.
It is. No, it's real. Fake. It's fake.
It's fake.
Spaghetti syndrome.
No, it's fake.
All right, so we're 1-1.
Spaghetti
leg. Stone man syndrome.
I think that's real.
Correct. That is real. Oh, wow. It's a rare condition that turns soft tissue into bone.
Wow.
Stone man syndrome.
Yeah. He's putting the pressure on you, Travis.
All right, Todd.
It's 2-1.
Travis. Giraffe neck syndrome.
Giraffe. Giraffe neck.
I mean, I've seen people with long necks, so I'm going to go with that's real.
Yeah.
That's got to be real.
That's got to be real.
Fake.
No way.
So what do we call that when you have a long neck?
Have you ever seen Mike Glennon? He's a football player.
Oh, yeah. He's got a long neck.
Huge neck.
What's he got?
Long.
Just
not
jeans? Jeans? It's not a syndrome?
It's not a syndrome. All right, wow. So we got, what do we got?
You might have to call it long neck syndrome.
Long neck.
Did you say it was real?
Yeah, I got it wrong.
You got it wrong.
So it's 2-1. Craig
can take commanding lead.
It would be
here.
Difficult to see someone with actual a giraffe neck.
Yeah.
Spots on
the neck. Is this a 7-game series?
This is 10 with a bonus.
Oh, 10 and a bonus. All right, 2-1.
Maple syrup urine disease.
It's real.
It is real.
Wow. Yeah.
A rare genetic disorder.
Craig,
yes,
you
it smells
that?
Sweet.
Yeah.
Your pee smells sweet.
Have you
sweet.
Treated that?
I have not.
Is that a heart issue?
Fortunately, I have not ever treated it. But, you know,
you go,
in med school, you read.
Yeah, I'm getting a hint of maple.
You got to be.
You read stuff, you know, everything.
I should start reading stuff.
You know, you got to start reading stuff, right?
No, when you're in med school, you have to read about all that. You know?
Yeah, you should get a medical journal and read it today.
Yeah.
Okay. I watched too much Dr. Quinn, and it's not been helpful.
She didn't have that.
She never had to deal with maple syrup urine. All right, Travis, you're up. Down 3-1. You need this one.
I thought you said, okay.
Popcorn lung.
Popcorn lung?
Popcorn lung.
I've eaten popcorn, and sometimes I feel like I swallow the kernels, and I get a popcorn in my lung, and you cough. Is that possible? Can you get food in your lung?
Why are you pointing at your heart?
You ever feel like
you can get little particles trapped up in the...
So yes, I've had popcorn lung. I've had popcorn in my lungs.
Popcorn lung is a real...
Yes.
Disease, but it's not what you think it is. It's caused by inhaling certain chemicals, often in microwave popcorn factories. Oh wait, no, that's not what you said. You said eating popcorn.
I eat popcorn too quickly, and I get popcorn.
What you said is something different again, because it would be like particles that get stuck up here and maybe just get trapped in there. And it feels like they're
in your lung.
But this is
I get that all the time.
There's a disease called bronchiolitis obliterans. It's very bad. It's the initials are BOOP.
BOOP.
And it's associated with eating a lot of microwave popcorn.
Oh,
there's chemicals.
That, buddy.
I eat a lot of microwave popcorn.
There's stay chemicals away. In the bag, and when you microwave it, they're activated to cause lung disease. So don't eat a
Travis,
lot.
Travis, don't get lung disease,
buddy.
I hope
my wife doesn't listen to this podcast.
Casey,
she'll make me stop.
Check on Travis.
Yeah.
All right, 3-2. Back to the game. Craig, chicken nugget hypersensitivity.
I don't think so.
You're correct. That is fake.
Wow. He's dominating
4-4. All right, Trav. Alien hand syndrome. Alien hand syndrome.
Is that big hands?
I can't.
Yeah,
I can't
I'm going to go. That's for sure real. It's alien size hands.
Well, it is real.
Hands, beach towels.
It is real, but not for the reason you think.
Okay.
It is a neurological disorder where a hand acts on its own.
Oh. What? That can't be real.
Your hand just does. Oh, it's like on Seinfeld when you're at the elbow. You're just nudging people.
Is that real? Hands can work on their independently?
I've never heard of it, but
it says it's a real thing.
Did you get this off Wikipedia?
No, this is ChatGPT.
Oh. Okay. So you have an
alien hand.
Alien.
That's
all right, so it's 4-3. All right.
Good work, Trav. You're hanging in there.
Craig, pancake spine.
This is one I haven't heard of. Pancake spine.
Why do they all have food related to them?
Well, alien isn't food.
Collapsing spine, hey? Oh, I'll say it's real.
It is fake.
Doors open, Trav.
That's why you'd never heard of it.
Uh-huh.
Doors open.
Okay, Trav.
I went out.
Pressure is on. It's 4-3. You can tie it.
It's going to be hot dog fingers.
No, it's not. Fish odor syndrome.
Fish odor syndrome. So I fish. So this is right in my wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times,
so you don't want to get it wrong.
A lot of times I'll fish. I'll come home and my wife says, "Oh, you stink." And so I probably have fish odor syndrome. So I'm going with yes, that's real.
Yes.
You're correct.
Yeah,
it is
nice,
real.
Travis.
Yep.
4-4.
4-4.
Okay. Wow. We have a tiebreaker.
So is it when you smell after fishing?
It's a metabolic disorder that causes a fishy body odor. So it's not related to being around fish. It's literally out of your body.
Yeah.
You start to smell fish. Okay. Right. This is the bonus round. Craig, I want you to define a obscure medical term. I'm not going to try to pronounce these. A medical term that Travis wouldn't have heard of.
No.
And you ask Travis what it sounds like it means. If he gets in the realm of what it means, then he wins. If he's nowhere close, that's going to be probably... I'll get RJ be the judge here on this one.
Oh, okay.
So you name a condition of any kind. Travis has to guess what it is.
Oh, a condition. Oh, man. What condition?
Put him on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
This is the bone. I thought you'd have the bone.
This is just what it gave me. I can.
All right. Pott's disease.
Oh, I've actually heard of Pott's. Okay. You're afraid of doing the dishes.
Are you being serious? Is that really your answer?
I might have Pott's disease, so I don't love doing the dishes. That's my guess. Am I right?
I'm going to say no.
Well, I'm going to guess no on that one there, Trav.
What?
I guess if it means standing in one place,
yes,
it could aggravate the Pott's syndrome, so you could kind of...
Yeah, we're not giving him this one.
Let's go to the judge, no. RJ.
What a gracious
Doesn't
guy.
It have something to do with your digestive system?
Pott's can affect digestive system, but the most prominent symptom is when people stand up and their heart rate goes up by more than 30 beats per minute, and they get dizzy.
They get lightheaded. Yeah,
maybe that's why I'll tell my wife.
It's postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome.
Yeah,
and when they stand up, they get a racing heart. And they get dizzy. They might even pass out.
Half a point?
I'm going to say no, Trav. That's
Craig wins.
But if he's standing and doing dishes, you know, he might not want to stand and do dishes if he has Pott's syndrome.
Pott's syndrome.
Because he's standing in one place.
Yeah, I'm not buying it, Craig.
He's trying to help out his opponent.
Very gracious of you, though.
Craig's trying not to win for some reason.
Craig, usually the guests win on these games, right. so you know.
Okay.
So it worked out.
It's very impressive that you tied him, though.
Trav. Yeah. Good job, Trav. I thought you were going to get blown out of the water to start.
Maybe I have a career in medicine.
I don't think so, bud. Well, thanks for joining us this episode, Craig. It was good having you on. We had a good time. Hope you enjoyed hanging out with us.
It was good.
For a little bit of time.
Craig.
So if you guys don't know Craig, he's on the safety team.
Yep.
And if you see him wandering around with an earpiece on, go and, you know, get in his ear.
Not too quickly.
Don't approach him too fast. Yeah. He might take you down.
Don't come up behind him.
Yeah, don't sneak up on him. But all right. Well, until next time, this was another episode of the Bearded 3 Podcast.
All right.
We're out.
Hot dog.
Hot dog fingers got me.